The date is July 26th, 1985, and we're watching National Lampoon's European Vacation. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Big Ben to my Parliament.
Hello, I'm Colin Stewart. Wait, does that make me the penis? I'm Colin Stewart.
I like the running joke of the traffic circle, stuck in the traffic circle, and so Big Ben and Parliament are said very many times. I wasn't thinking phallically. I'm not sure what's on your mind.
Well, yeah. Maybe that speaks to me more than you.
And this week we brought back a guest on our show, someone that's been here multiple times at this point, a young man that it's been a minute since we've seen him. Please welcome back Mr. Will Brisbane.
Gentlemen, it is good to be back. This is one of my favorite movies and franchises, so I'm excited to get right into it.
Wow, to hear you talk about a 1985 movie as one of your favorite movies, that's a very intriguing thing that I'm looking forward to diving into in a few moments here.
Totally. Well, like, that was one of the movies that I grew up on, because it's one of my dad's favorite movies. That, Austin Powers and Wayne's World, I just grew up with those movies on repeat in my living room for hours at a time.
Wow, that's a fun tripod.
Oh, yeah.
So this week, we're looking back at July 1985, when the movies in theaters were episode 130 subject Explorers, Black Cauldron, The Man with One Red Shoe, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Back to the Future, but that'll come up in a second. And of course, our movie for today, National Lampoon's European Vacation, which earned $48.36 million on a $17 million budget. They managed to knock Back to the Future off for 1 week. Back to the Future had already been in theaters for 3 weeks, and they knocked them off top spot, but then they were back for like 8 more weeks at number one. Back to the Future was a pretty popular movie in 1985.
But as always, there will be spoilers ahead, so if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, then please hit pause, go watch it, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
So the tagline that appears on the poster for this movie, well, I have found two this week, kind of. You'll see. First, I've got, for over 2,000 years, Europe has survived many great disasters. Now for the real test, the Griswolds. Kind of a fun tagline.
I don't know. That's about what I would expect for this movie.
Exactly, yeah.
And the 1980s.
Yeah, that too. Well, no, see, this is where it gets more 80s. Second tagline, for over 2,000 years, Europe has survived many great disasters. Now for the real test. Chevy Chase and his family are coming from America. That's the Eddie's tagline. Let's name drop the person, the actor himself. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, those may not be very good descriptions of this movie, so let's go to Colin for a 60-second synopsis.
All right, this one's pretty long.
Buckle up.
The Griswold fan.
Already Sorry. Off to a rocky start.
I spent 3 hours driving an AC, and I feel like it was not good for my throat.
Dried you out a bit.
Yeah. All right. The Griswold family are contestants on a TV game show called A Pig in a Poke, and managed to win the show's grand prize, a 2-week all-expense-paid European vacation. Arriving first in London, they follow the itinerary provided by the game show, which promises luxury accommodations. However, their hotel room is not up to par. Clark has trouble driving on the opposite side of the road, gets into 3 car accidents, hitting one man on a bicycle, and is stuck driving for hours in a roundabout. Yeah. Sometime later, they take a drive in the countryside and visit Stonehenge, and Clark reverses his car into the rocks, knocking them over like dominoes as he drives away. Next, the Griswolds arrive in Paris, France, and a local man steals Clark's video camera after he offers to take a family photograph. During the day, the family visits the Eiffel Tower. Later, they race through the Louvre Museum in 15 minutes, and Ellen pleads with Clark to slow down their tour. Audrey is distraught after her boyfriend, Jack, sweeps the leg and breaks up with her. I was proud of that.
That was nice. That works.
The family drives to Germany to visit Clark's distant relatives, Fritz and Helga. They arrive at the wrong home, however, and fail to realize the elderly couple are not Fritz and Helga. The German couple do not speak English, but welcome the Griswolds to dinner and allow them to spend the night. The family leaves the next day, thinking they had a nice visit with their family. At a German festival, Rusty gets to second base with a local girl named Claudia. Clark joins in on the traditional Bavarian dance and accidentally incites a riot, forcing the family to flee as an angry mob pursues. They board a train for Rome, but lose their luggage in the process. In Rome, two criminals hold up a traveler's check office and tie up the shopkeeper. When Clark arrives to reclaim his lost traveler's checks, the criminals pretend they work in the shop and give him three times the amount he lost. They also provide him a rental car in which they put the shopkeeper in the trunk. The thieves secretly follow the Griswolds around Rome. The family buys extravagant Italian clothes, and later the teens demand some time away from their parents. Ellen sees a billboard with a suggestive photograph of her on it and realizes it came from the stolen video camera. She is furious with Clark for not erasing their sex tape as promised. The family goes their separate ways, and Ellen proceeds to get drunk at the hotel bar. The thieves follow her, and one tries to seduce her. When she refuses his advances, he holds a gun to her head and kidnaps her. Clark and Audrey chase Ellen and her kidnapper through the streets of Rome until a flat tire forces Clark to commandeer a bicycle to continue the chase. When he catches up to the car, Clark jumps on, and the kidnapper crashes into a fountain. The thief is arrested, Ellen embraces Clark, and the Griswolds happily fly back to America, where Clark accidentally causes the plane to knock the torch of the Statue of Liberty over. There you go.
Yeah, simple. Yeah, European Vacation was actually the introduction to the vacation franchise for me. This was the first one that I had seen, and I probably saw it shortly after it came out, so it would have come out in 86, on video, I mean, because I probably didn't see it in theaters. Yeah, so I would have been 8, 9 when this movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, inappropriately young is basically, yeah. But I feel like when I throw it over to Will, I feel like I'm going to hear the same sort of thing about inappropriately young when you're watching this movie, considering he's still not quite an age of majority over here. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, my introduction to the franchise was Christmas Vacation, and like that's I still think one of the best, if not the best, Christmas movies of all time. But actually, funny enough, European Vacation I watched second before I watched like just regular Vacation.
Original Vacation.
And OG. Yeah, that movie is it is a dirtier than Christmas Vacation. Yeah. It's kind of goes to another level, but it is awesome. I did watch it inappropriately young. I'm with you, Sean. I was probably 8 or 9. I said it before we started recording, but that Austin Powers and Wayne's World, what a lineup for 8-year-old Joe.
Yep. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, after seeing this, I went back and saw the first one, but I was always just partial to this one for some reason. And for me, this is a movie that sparked a desire to travel to Europe, and it's still in me, and I'm finally after, like, you know, 35 years after seeing this movie, I am finally going to Europe. So that's why I wanted to do this movie close to my Europe trip, so that to
that's
get myself
awesome.
Psyched, right? I'm only doing two of the Griswold stops, but you know, I've got a whole European feeling in me right now that I want to help satiate that craving, because I'm
where
not there
are you
yet.
Going?
London and Paris, that's it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's one of the things that this movie always did for me, though, is it always gave me an appreciation for Europe and this desire to go see it, because it just always looked so amazing. Even though there's a lot of parts of this movie where the Griswolds don't really even see anything. Like, it's like, what do they actually see in London? The traffic circle. That's all they ever show them
Well, they see Parliament a lot.
Big Ben. Big Ben. Look, kids. Big Ben. Parliament.
Again.
Yeah. So, Colin, what about you? What is your history with National Lampoon's European Vacation? Do you got any?
Not really. I think I've only seen Christmas Vacation, and I saw the Vacation remake with Ed Helms.
Okay.
But I haven't seen any of the other Chevy Chase Vacation movies.
Yeah. Will, you the only one you didn't mention in your list before was Vegas Vacation. So where do you fall on Vegas Vacation?
You know what? I know it's not revered by any standard, but it's Chevy Chase in Vegas. I think it's awesome. It obviously has its flaws, but I'm a huge Chevy Chase fan, and I think all four in this series are just awesome.
Well, more than that too is that it is a Cousin Eddie free movie that we just watched, and Vegas Vacation, it's a Cousin Eddie heavy movie, and
it's always
a good thing when you got more crazy Randy Quaid around.
Yep. Well, one of the craziest like Cousin Eddie facts for me that I only found out about like this Christmas when I watched Christmas Vacation is that there's a Christmas Vacation too.
Oh,
I
own it on DVD.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that I want to watch that so bad.
It's I haven't watched it. Strangely enough, I picked it up at like a flea market and forgot that I had it until just this moment, and I'm like, shit. How did I not watch Christmas Vacation 2 in preparation for this episode?
Exactly.
More Cousin Eddie. But yes, it is very Cousin Eddie focused, much like how there was the Get Smart Lloyd and Harry movie that came out after Get Smart. It was like a side quest movie for the characters, for the side characters
really?
Get Smart. Yeah. I guess they can't get Steve Carell for a sequel, must have been the situation.
Yeah. Well, that's probably what happened with Christmas Vacation too. Yeah. No Chevy Chase, no Beverly D'Angelo.
Yeah, but you got Randy Quaid.
Exactly. The better Quaid.
The better Quaid.
Doesn't the kid in my research, I feel like the kid that plays Rusty in European Vacation shows up in to play Rusty in Christmas Vacation too.
No, that's the guy from Big Bang Theory, like the main guy for like Rudy Galecki, I think his name is.
Johnny Galecki.
Oh, Johnny Galecki.
Excuse me.
Johnny Galecki is the Rusty in Christmas Vacation 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one is Jason Lively. The first one is Anthony Michael Hall. The newest one is Ethan Embry. No, Vegas Vacation is Ethan Embry. The newest one, the Ed Helms one, has Skylar Gisondo.
Yeah. Man, I could have honestly sworn that Jason Lively was in like the first Vacation. They look a lot alike.
The first one is Anthony Michael Hall, and it was Anthony Michael Hall that didn't come back for this one.
Yeah.
Which is why they decided, okay, fuck it, we'll recast both kids. So they didn't even offer the Audrey for the first one, the part. And then it became the thing to recast Audrey's and Russ's.
Yeah, it's my mistake. It's Dana Barron, the one who played the original Audrey, comes back in Christmas Vacation 2.
Wild.
To play Audrey.
Wow.
Wild, okay. Jason Lively is actually the half-brother of Blake Lively.
Oh.
Yeah,
no way.
Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we've already started talking about, so let's jump into National Lampoon's European Vacation, directed by Amy Heckerling. That's like only our second lady director ever that we've had on the show, because we had Catherine Bigelow for Point Break, but I don't think we've had any other lady directors, so... Female power and Chevy Chase and her really butted heads. They really hated each other, actually.
I think I've heard that Chevy Chase just butts heads with everyone.
Well, yes. Allegedly, Chevy Chase is definitely a dick from all many accounts that I have read about. But yeah, I guess this one in particular, like Amy Heckerling refused to go to set unless she had a ticket in her pocket for the plane to get home.
Wow.
Wow.
She needed an escape plan at all times. She was ready to drop everything and go to the airport.
Yeah. No way.
Fucking crazy. Yeah, they hated each other.
Yeah.
Well, it's produced by Maddie Simmons. I mean, you're a grown man named Maddie. Stop it. And written by John Hughes, Robert Klein, and we opened this movie on Holiday Road. A classic. Not a vacation movie without Holiday Road or like some great song to open it. I mean, the Christmas Vacation song is also an all-time favorite of mine.
It's great. The old 80s animated openings.
Yeah.
Title sequences. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Christmas Vacation, yeah. But yeah, in this case, the passport's getting stamped. And also, it's the only vacation movie that is not set in America.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's the only time we ever get to see the Griswolds' passports.
Fair enough.
So I like how the credit list, though, it lists like six people. And then for everyone, it says, and guest starring. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But they give William Zabka the shaft.
Yeah.
I forgot that he was in this movie until I watched it again.
Yeah.
They give Rusty's Californian girl that he meets in Rome. She makes the list, but for some reason, Zabka does not. I thought that was odd.
Third act girl makes it into the list. First act girl, no. No.
Yeah.
Well, I guess first act boy.
First act but, boy.
Yes, it is nice to see William Zabka as something other than Johnny Lawrence or quote unquote William Zabka, like he was in How I Met Your Mother.
I mean, I don't know that this character was that far of a departure from Johnny Lawrence.
No, but
weirdly, he's more like Johnny Lawrence in Cobra Kai than Johnny Lawrence in The Karate Kid.
Yeah. He's a little more sensitive.
Yeah.
More jaded. Like when he tells Clark that he doesn't want Audrey to get fat, I was like, whoa.
Whoa, yeah. Easy, Johnny Lawrence.
But I mean, there was a bunch of weird moments like that in this movie. Like I was almost, and this will come up when we get to the reviews, but I was about ready to turn this movie off when the game show host had that long makeout session with Audrey.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Like, why?
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Dana Hill in this movie, who played Audrey, was 21, even though she was supposed to be like 14. And yeah. I mean, that's all poking fun at something that used to happen on Family Feud a little bit. Richard Dawson was on the lips kisser when he greeted the female contestants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's what it's poking fun at is, yeah, some of those creepy hosts from the 70s. Yeah.
That's insane.
But yeah,
that's good to know. It doesn't play well now.
Yeah, because they do definitely sexualize what is supposed to be a 14-year-old girl quite a bit, because there's also the scene with the waiter where it's subtitled with "your daughter has a really nice ass."
Yeah.
But dude, no. That's a grade 9 girl, you know?
It is, yeah. And I mean, how old is, because Rusty would even be like, what, he's 16? And they sexualize Claudia a lot, assuming they're like the same age.
Yeah, he's supposed to be, like 15, 16, yeah.
Yeah, Rusty at one point says he's 15 years old when he's trying to say, like, he's a man.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But I don't know. I felt like he looked, I thought he was 19. He seemed college age to me.
Yeah. It did seem like an odd choice, though, like, to double down on the pedophile humor in this movie.
Totally.
Like, they really went for it. They're like, no. We're going to remind you of that joke later on, too.
Because you guys are both like vacation buffs, like I've seen a little bit of the first Vacation, and I was like kind of shocked because when I saw the kids, I remember Anthony Michael Hall, and I remember whoever the girl was who played Audrey as those characters, and I feel like I liked them better. Do you guys like these two as Rusty and Audrey, or is there a definitive best Rusty and Audrey in your mind?
I love this version of Rusty. I love Anthony Michael Hall, but I just think Jason Lively just kind of plays the role perfectly. Just like, he just plays into the stupidity of the character so well. But I do like, my favorite version of Audrey is definitely the first Vacation, I think.
Yeah. I mean, with Audrey, I always think of Juliette Lewis. I always think of Christmas Vacation for Audrey. Johnny Galecki, though, does not really stand out for me as the definitive Rusty. Like, it's weird. Like, I feel like the Rusty and Audrey should be your favorite, depending on what your favorite movie is, because that would be the ones you always associate. But yeah, no, I think strangely, Anthony Michael Hall is my Rusty, and Juliette Lewis is my Audrey. Like, that's who I think of when I think of those characters immediately.
Yeah.
Strangely. Enough. Yeah. Yet this is one that I always watched more than the original Vacation, so. But it's Anthony Michael Hall.
Anthony Michael Hall, yeah.
I mean, everyone else had a successful career that played Rusty, except for this guy.
Yeah. No, you are right.
Did he do anything else?
Not really.
No.
Not a whole lot
of it. He became Blake Lively's brother-in-law, so that's got to stand for something.
No. He's half-brother. So he's
half-brother.
He's related to her. Yeah, he's actually blood, half-blood related to her. Yeah.
So then, yeah, he did even more.
So one thing I absolutely love about this movie, and I realized it's been a very long time since I've seen this movie, but I remembered quite a bit of it. It didn't flood back the same way that watching something like Road Trip did for me, where it was like very distinct memories, because I was a lot younger the last time I saw this movie. But totally. I love how it opens with the pig in the poke, and that was one of those things where I'm like, oh yeah, pig in a poke. Yeah, oh my God, like, you know, because you think about it, there's a whole other story right there that they decide not to tell, was like, somehow the Griswolds are on a game show.
Yeah.
They win.
In the final round, yeah, somehow they have already got prizes in their bank, but we don't get to know that story. But I like how it's just immediately, you know, this world. Uh-oh, here come the, you know, the champions. And
I was going to say, there's also one thing I do appreciate about this movie, that you're kind of just like, you start and you're off to the races. Like, there's not a lot of preamble. It's just like literally they're like, well, how do they get to Europe? Here, do it. Yeah. Shoot it. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
Because even their time on the game show is so, like, little stakes. It's so fast. Why don't the Frogers get another shot? Why is it that the Griswolds fail, they fail, and then, like, it's sudden death means that, like, they should technically get to go again.
Yeah.
And, like, it's by a round, and not just who's the first to get a correct answer.
Yeah.
Strange.
I mean, I think it must have been rigged the whole time, because it's important to remember that one of Clark's answers was what are the pyramidal tracks? And he said, a housing development outside, guys.
Yeah. And then it's the different, basically the other guys get it wrong because it's upper versus lower.
Like, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah. And I mean, it's clear that she was not answering the question.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear, yeah. But whatever. Technicality. I mean, there's been some interesting stuff that I've seen them get away with on Jeopardy before, where it's like, close enough, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially Celebrity Jeopardy.
Oh.
Yeah, so they win completely by accident. If I was those kids, why wouldn't you want to go to Rome? Or, you know, like, why wouldn't you want to go to Europe? Why?
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all. Those kids, like, I would have just left them behind for sure. Like, they're stupid.
Yeah.
Like, why are you bitching about, oh, we get to go on a free international vacation?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess maybe these types of things just happen to kids in the 80s every day.
Maybe.
Strange.
If I'm not mistaken, wasn't Ellen also, like, opposed? Like, didn't he actually choose all three?
Well, Ellen, she was kind of saying, like, if the kids don't want to go, then let's just go together. Like, let's just
you and me go together. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, fuck the kids. Let them stay here, fine. Yeah.
Ellen, but she didn't want him to, like, be a piggy and go yeah. for the extra. Like, she wanted him yeah. to just take the prize.
Yeah, because they were already pretty well up. I mean, they had a Honda motorcycle in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big old Honda motorcycle. And, well, come on. I think that means it's time for Sponsorship Corner.
Oh, yeah.
So, always on the lookout for product placements and movies, this week National Lampoon's European Vacation is brought to you by Honda, Austin, Mercedes, Fiat, and Volkswagen Vehicles, TR3 Regal Car Polish, JVC, Hitachi, Sharp, and Panasonic Electronics, Pan America Airlines, the Daily Mail newspaper, Q-Tips, the Chicago Bears, Stella Artois Beer, Coca-Cola, and Diet Pepsi. For some reason, both of them are in there. I think the Diet Pepsi, or the Coke can was in there by accident, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, Planters Peanuts, MTV, and the self-referential Lampoon Magazine. Also, to add a couple of, like, auditory, the songs that Rusty and Audrey are singing in the room when they're bored is, like, some Miller Beer jingle and an AT&T jingle that you would have only known about if you were alive in 1985. I only read about that, so. And I'm like, oh, I guess that counts. Plus the probably fictional Imperial Windsor Hotel and the definitely fictional Wally World. And this has been Sponsorship Corner. Before we're off to Europe, yes, we film a sex tape. Now, you brought it up in your 60-second synopsis, a sex tape. Now, here is the question, because it seems to be that Ellen, at least, thinks that it is only her shower scene and her doing her dance. Mm-hmm. That, and wow, Beverly D'Angelo. First of all, sexy and, like, very talented. Yeah. Very, very, very cool number. But they show him setting it down and they do it right there on the floor. So I'm wondering whether it is a full sex tape or whether when they get to Europe and see the billboard of her, the billboard is translated to the woman in the shower. So that's the title of this movie.
Whoa. I don't know. I felt like the way that the original scene was shot, like, what else are you left to believe when it clearly shows you the camera, like, still on and recording while they're about to get down.
Yeah. So, yeah, I take it as full sex tape. Okay. But they seem to play down that fact a bit in the movie itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. But I guess my only thought with that is that, I don't know, it is the 1980s. It's not current day, whereas, you know, there's just a plethora of internet porn.
That's
but
true.
Like, who's going to be paying for just a woman in a towel doing a dance number? That doesn't seem like
a... Hey, it's definitely D'Angelo calling,
I guess. Yeah. But
she did open the towel at one point. I mean, you know, the girl's gone wild guy got really rich and famous there for a bit.
I suppose.
One thing I couldn't help but notice in her dance number, though, is that the Griswolds have pink toilet paper.
Oh.
Like, is the color on my screen off? Did they do something because it was a dance number with the filter? But it looked like pink toilet paper to me. And it's like, I wondered whether that was a thing in the 80s. I mean, I didn't wonder enough to look it up beforehand, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
I mean, in the 80s, people thought it was a good idea to have, like, shag carpet toilet seat covers.
That's
so
true.
So I wouldn't put it past anyone to have pink scented toilet paper.
Yeah.
That happened?
Yeah. It happened.
No way.
And we should all just try to forget that that was ever a thing.
Yeah, I had one.
Wow.
There's also, like, I don't know if they still, maybe they
padded?
Still, but I remember, like, padded ones.
Yeah.
And when they would get old, it was, like,
it would pinch. Like, you know, it would, like, pinch. When, it would crack. And
yeah, it would crack and then just be, like, it would
pinch your ass when you sat down. Yeah, my grandma had a padded seat, toilet seat. It's wow. weird. Like, a padded toilet seat is weird, but it's also nice. I mean, I love a good toilet choice. I mean, that's the thing is, boy, when I traveled to Japan, like, it's just the toilets were luxurious. I'm still talking about the toilets, like, 5 years later. They were incredible. They play music. They talk to you. You know, it's great.
My friend was just in Japan. He was telling me there's, like, in some places, like, the toilet just has, like, a full-on computer that you can put in, like, your toilet usage settings.
Yeah.
Like, bidet water temperature.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give me the number 5.
Give me the number.
You know what? I think this is a 10.
A full wash.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like when you go get a car wash at Esso or whatever, it's like you can get the regular, the works, and then you can get the luxury package.
Yeah, and the luxury it has the undercarriage wash.
Yeah.
You know, it's got the wax. Little rust protection.
Spray your balls with a little bit of Nair and then just wash it off.
Oh.
A little shave too.
Yeah. Well, speaking of cutting edge technology, boy, when they get on the plane, what cutting edge technology is that translation calculator that Clark has?
I know, man. They saw into the future.
They saw into the future. It's crazy. They had the crystal ball. Yeah. Oh, that was so high tech. I was impressed with that.
Yeah.
Part of their trap, like, the thing I felt watching this movie is, like, having done, like, a 3-and-some-month trip to Europe, I was just thinking, like, how hard it would have been to accomplish that in the 1980s. Without, like, the internet and cell phones. Like, having to use traveler's checks and not just being able to get a credit card and something that I could use at any ATM. Like, just having to walk around with thousands of dollars in travel checks seems not fun.
Yeah. Like, I remember doing a road trip to California. Like, I was just driving to Los Angeles. In 1997, like 97, and I went down to like the AMA and I got this thing called a triptych, which is all this flip book of maps that it lays out every part of your journey from turn to turn. It was like their version of MapQuest in a way before MapQuest existed. But yeah, they broke it down. It's like every section that a GPS can now tell you where it's like, oh, turn in 500 meters, all that sort of stuff. Broken down in a flip book. It was crazy. 97. I can't imagine Europe in 85. Like,
yeah.
And I mean, I would stick to Clark's itinerary. Like, it seems like it would be too scary to go off the beaten path in 1985.
Yeah, like, I feel that's probably, like, travel agencies are probably, like, such a booming business.
Yep. Oh, for sure.
For international travel, because you'd basically need to have almost everything entirely set up beforehand.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I went, it was, like, we just would go to a place, do stuff, and then just kind of be like, well, where do we want to go next? And then look on the internet and figure stuff out and make a plan and go, but I wouldn't want to have to be like, okay, I need to go to a library, like, look up a whole bunch of maps and, like, encyclopedias and just be taking notes.
Yeah. Now you can type something into Google Translate and hold your phone up to someone. Like, that's how easy it is to ask a question now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can't even imagine. And like, this prize... I mean, yeah, they get to go to Europe, and yeah, they've got accommodations paid for, but the first hotel really sucks. Now, I don't know whether it's because it's a poor game show, or whether that's making some sort of joke about how terrible hotels are in London. Yeah. I don't know yet. I hope I picked a good one. But, I mean, they're also expected to drive themselves around. Don't you need a special driver's license if you have to drive in Europe? Don't you have to pass, like, a test to qualify to drive in England? No?
I don't know. I don't think you do. I think like if you have a standard like a driver's license, you kind of just have to like remember like, oh, it's everything's opposites.
See, I do remember my buddy Carl having to take lessons. He was there for getting his doctorate. He was living in Leeds for a while. Oh. And he took lessons. I don't know. I never did ask him whether he had to take like a separate exam.
Hmm.
It is interesting. I never even thought about that.
Yeah. Because like when he's driving around, Clark sucks.
It's okay. He gets a pass because while he may be on the wrong side of the road, he is also on the wrong side of the car.
That's right.
I did also see in looking up Christmas Vacation 2 that Eric Idle returns as the bicyclist who gets hit by the car.
Does he?
Yeah.
Shit, how have I not watched this movie yet? Oh my god. Kicking myself now.
Oh, do you have it on DVD or VHS?
On DVD.
Oh, easy. You should watch it.
Yeah, I was at a flea market. I don't get very many weekends off, and I had a weekend off, so I went to a flea market and hit up a bunch of DVD booths looking for movies that that we had in our upcoming schedule at the time. Yeah. And this was one that I just happened to stumble across.
Yeah, you see that, you have to get it.
Yeah. So the dreams are all very interesting, I have to say. Ellen's about meeting the royals. R.I.P. Queen Elizabeth II. Yeah. Pour one out for the queen.
I'm pretty sure that one girl's supposed to be Princess Diana, no?
And Princess Diana, so yeah, pour one out for Princess Diana. Yeah. Yeah. Only King Charles remains.
Only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Rusty... Okay, so does Rusty take off one pair of headphones and put on a different pair of headphones?
Oh, I didn't even notice.
I thought it was like one pair of headphones into like earmuffs or like noise canceling something. That's what I thought.
Noise canceling.
Yeah, well, okay. No, like not like electric, but like just like earmuffs that like, you know, you wear. You know.
See, I feel like it was maybe he was taking the in-flight entertainment headphones out, because that's what you had to do back in the day, Will, is you used to have to put in their headphones, and you had to buy their headphones because they had special jacks. The ones that you had for your Walkman wouldn't work in these. Now, a Walkman was something that had a portable tape player. Now, yeah. A tape is like a physical MP3.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're up to speed?
Oh, we're
So that's what I believe it was, is that he was taking the headphones out that were from the in-flight entertainment. And he was putting on the ones for his Walkman.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I think happened. But he has his disco dream. And then Audrey has her dream about eating. and apparently the actress that plays Audrey had type 1 diabetes. So yeah, she died a few years later. Like she wow. was not very old when she died. And so she had to be very careful in this scene not to be swallowing any food.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. I was going to say that, like,
died. Wow.
Considering yeah. like how like sick and sensitive she was, they sure like made her character focus like a lot on eating and food and that kind of stuff. Like
so much body shaming, and you wonder what the psychology is there. Like there's probably some sort of eating disorders, and Johnny Lawrence is not a good dude. I mean, William Zabko, Jack here, he plays another, he's not a stand-up guy.
But he's got a big old German sausage, as Audrey dreams. Oh, I miss Jack.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, the hotel's a piece of shit, and they have to share a bathroom. When I was looking for places to book, I did realize that was something I had to look for, was making sure that I had an ensuite bathroom, because there were many opportunities to have shared bathrooms in my hotel searches.
Really?
Yeah. But it was cool seeing a young Robbie Coltrane, me being the Harry Potter nerd that I am, as the guy in the bathroom.
That's who that was. That I was like, why does this guy look so familiar? But yeah. I would have never placed him without the beard. It was the same with the guy who ran the front desk. I'm positive is from The Princess Bride.
He's the albino.
Yeah, he is?
Yeah.
Okay, I forgot to look it up, but...
Yeah.
Oh, I just realized that. That's one of my favorite scenes of the movie, when he's like, he's speaking English, Dad.
So yeah, and then all we seem to do is the traffic circle. That seems to be all they get to do. Look, kids, Big Ben, Parliament. I do like the line of, what does the queen do? She queens and vacuums. Like, so, you know, yeah, like, you can look at Chevy Chase personally for everything that he is said to be in the professional world. But he's good at slipping a little underlying one-liner in there. Just like when she on the plane, when he's offered a Coke, and she says, do you want that in the can? And he looks over his shoulder.
No, I'll just take it in the bathroom.
No, I'll just take it right here. Yeah, yeah, not in the can. Like, I just, like, it's great. I love it. And then they go to Stonehenge. And they knock over Stonehenge, of course, because they're the Griswolds, and you saw that coming a mile away. Now, I've never been. Colin, have you been to Stonehenge, or Will?
I have been.
You have been? Yeah. Are they a spiral like that?
Yeah, and part of it.
Okay. I know this movie always made me think that you could actually walk amongst them. I know that's bullshit. And, like, even in this movie, you can see, like, the rope and everyone else is behind the rope. I don't understand how the Griswolds got in the middle, or are we just supposed to assume it's American ignorance that they are sitting on the rocks and taking pictures and no one has stopped them?
Like, this, the Stonehenge that they're in isn't real.
Well, I know, I know that.
Yeah, like, it's like it was filmed somewhere else, but the actual Stonehenge, there is a, like, when I went, you couldn't get in, but they do. There are some times where, like, they'll take the ropes down and, like, let people go amongst the rocks and that kind of stuff. Okay. I think during, like, solstice events specifically. And then there's some other, like, special, I think you can get, like, special permission. And there have been periods of time where it has been, like, not roped.
Okay.
But that was kind of disappointing when I went. I thought it was kind of lame because, like, basically you have to, like, just kind of walk around it in a circle. And it's really, like, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. That's your day.
Yeah, like, the bus kind of just drops you off in, like, a parking lot, and then you have to walk. Like, yeah, I've always kind of, before I'd seen it, I always kind of imagined Stonehenge as, like, being in the middle of, like, a small town, but it's, like, literally on the side of the road.
Yeah. Yeah, see, and this movie makes me think that you park right next to the stones, that you can walk amongst, right? No. See, like, yeah. And I know that to be false, but growing up, that's what I always thought. So that's why I always envisioned Stonehenge as this thing, because it's like, oh, yeah, I can sit on the rocks, and oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
See, this movie lied to me so much. But yeah, when they leave, the phone call that Audrey made, that was also a great scene where she's like, "Oh, you're gonna have dinner? I'll hold." The $250 phone bill, though, if we adjusted that for inflation, though, that's like a $640 bill now.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, that's insane.
It's the Griswolds.
It's the Griswolds. So now we're off to Paris. The idea of taking your picture around this trip with a video camera seems a little absurd to me, but maybe that's only an 80s idea to me. I mean, I guess nowadays you have fucking TikTokers and shit walking around with their phone outstretched and everything like that, but it just seems weird to stand in front of a fountain with a video camera pointed at you and saying cheese.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, that was another thing about when I was thinking about how times have changed, but who in their right mind is traveling with that massive camera?
Right? Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, this movie, like, that part, like, in front of the fountain always scared me whenever my parents would, like, get people to take our photo. It's still a thought in the back of my head, is like, oh man, somebody could just so easily just turn and sprint and we couldn't catch him.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, this... it'd be way easier now to like just to jack your cell phone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's quite the sizable thing that he had to run down the street with when he was trying to get away. That's like trying to get away with the TV under your arm these days, you know?
Yeah, fair enough.
I enjoyed the waiter scene as an adult because I'm a much faster reader than I am when I was a child. So, and I get a lot more of the jokes of, you can't understand a thing I'm saying, can you, you American asshole, and all those sorts of stuff. Yeah. I like that the gourmet French dinner, though, is just like microwave dinners.
Yeah. Funny detail.
They're all in the back giving it Sully's Catch of the Day special from Summer Rental. There's a throwback for you, Colin.
I mean, yeah, a lot of people will say, but I felt it when I was there. But like France, like I feel like they just hate everyone. Like, yeah. Especially if you're, the minute they realize you're not French, I think they hate you.
Yeah.
I have a cottage in Quebec and we go there in the summers. And like, literally, like they just hate non-French speakers. Like we try and talk French to them and they get so annoyed and they almost like serve non-French Canadians worse than they do their own.
Well, thankfully I have less time in France than I have in England.
Totally.
By design.
Yeah.
I do want to see if I can get a beret, though, and get a dog to jump off the Eiffel Tower. I think that would be fun.
I was going to say you should, in honor of this movie, you should get you and your girlfriend, like, embroidered berets.
That's exactly what I need to do. Like it's a goddamn Mickey Mouse hat. Yeah, I do have to imagine, though, that the Eiffel Tower is much more closed off these days, though, than it was. Not quite as open concept as it used to be, would be my guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I've only been to the Eiffel Tower in Vegas.
So. Yeah, that's not quite the same thing.
No, yeah, no.
Did something happen there recently? Am I not?
There's just a smaller Eiffel Tower in Vegas, and that's just the only Eiffel Tower I've seen.
Like, when I went to the Eiffel Tower, it was pretty, like, it's just, like, in a massive park. Yeah, you can get pretty close to it. And you can get, like, you can take like an elevator. I can't remember if you. I think you can walk up it to a certain point.
Yeah,
and then you can take an elevator higher.
Yeah, because the tour companies swoop in and buy all the tickets as soon as they like go on sale for the day. Mm-hmm. We were stuck having to book something that cost much more money. And so we get a glass of champagne when we get to the top of the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But it's like that was the only option. But yes, there's the like the what they call the second floor, which is the bridge part in between the feet. Yeah. And then there's the top floor. Yeah.
Is there usually a big lineup like to get on the stairs of the elevator, Colin?
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember it being like overly crazy. Like it wasn't like obviously there's lots of, but most people were just there like hanging out in the park looking at the tower and taking pictures, but to actually go in it, it didn't seem like that many people were interested in it.
Yeah,
like most people just kind of like wanted to see it and just like stand by it.
But even if you walk it, you have to pay.
Yeah,
so even if you walk to the top floor, you have to pay. So, like, so there's different admission prices. There's the second floor elevator, second floor walking, top floor elevator, top floor walking, and then there's like top floor champagne experience.
The luxury.
The deluxe package. Yeah.
The worst. Like
60 euros or whatever it is, you know.
Jeez.
Yeah. But anyway, Clark ends up taking them out for, or taking Ellen out for a night on the town. And we finally get some boobs in this movie. Oh my god. I kept reading in trivia though that like, oh, it's like this is the first vacation movie to get a PG-13 rating, and I'm like, wow, the second one? is the first one to get a PG. The first one? No, tell me it isn't so. Because the first one, you know, the original is rated R. And the newest one is rated R. But this was PG-13. Christmas Vacation is PG.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Vegas Vacation is also PG, or it's PG-13. Or I've got those flipped. But, yeah, it's like, okay, so it was such a big deal that this was rated PG-13, apparently, according to their trivia that I saw. I was surprised to see so many boobs in this movie.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Like, I thought there were more in this movie than there were in the first one. Like, because you have, like, the burlesque show and then Claudia. But in the first one, isn't it just the psycho shower scene with Ellen? Like, I'm pretty sure, like, there's more in this movie than there are in the other one.
It's been too long since I've seen the first one as well.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, I should have boob scenes burned into my memory. Like, I should just be able to flip through that file, you know, anytime I want that file cabinet, just run my fingers along like I'm looking for the incriminating file. I should be able to pull those up.
Yeah.
What do they call that? The spank bank, I believe.
Spank bank, that's right. I mean, I have a well-organized spank bank. I have file cabinets up in that bitch, you know?
Color-coded.
Color-coded, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the only place in my life that I have organization. Right there.
Well, it's the only important thing. Like, that's it.
I can't remember to put shit in any other kind of calendar, but I got that one going.
The spank bank. Oh, yeah.
The spank bank. It's important. It's important. It's, you know, I have a security guard that stays in there. We have to turn a key at the same time to get through the security door, you know. It's a whole
thing. And then after the security door, there's like a padlock and another security guard.
Absolutely, yeah. And retinal scan and, yeah.
Exactly.
And you guys put a lot of work into that.
And then if you do get through, you do have to take down the Rancor in the pit too, so.
That's right.
Not easy.
Colin, as we discovered back in X-Men, sometimes you have to have a prison made out of plastic just in case, you know, you got to build some high-tech facility and then give it a stupid purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Plastic prison for one person. So, European Vacation. They definitely spend a lot more time in Paris than they do in London. Like, there really wasn't much London at all. But Paris, they get their 15 minutes before closing walk through the Louvre. That's a lot of fun.
I thought for sure they were going to, like mess up the Mona Lisa or something.
You'd think something like that would happen, yeah. Destroying some... Yeah. Oh, hey, we found a Venus that we never knew about that has arms still. And then they accidentally break off. You know, what a discovery. There's also the couple that's on their honeymoon that we keep seeing that they're making out. I think he's going to pork her, Dad.
He's going to pork her. Dad, he's grabbing her tits.
He's grabbing her tits. Yeah.
Clark and Rusty have a very interesting relationship.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that there wasn't, or maybe there is, but I feel like we needed to see a vacation movie that was just a boys' trip of Clark and Rusty.
Oh, boys' vacation, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
No, because maybe like my favorite part in the entire franchise is in Christmas Vacation in the department store. Can't see the line, can you, Russ? No, Dad.
Yeah, well, and then there's the scene where no one is trying to talk on the train. Like, everyone's just furious. But they're all pissing each other off with their other noises, and we've got, like, the whole, like, actual physical fight between Clark and Rusty. And somehow Rusty still wins because Clark can't figure out how to turn off a Walkman. I mean, it does have me wondering whether Will would know how to turn off a Walkman.
Well, I mean, I think I haven't like used a Walkman, but I've
held one.
It doesn't work. Like I can figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, so I know how to like open the cassette slot.
There you go.
I bet I could figure out how to turn it off.
I believe in you, Will. I think you can do it.
So when they get to Germany to visit Clark's relatives, You know, one thing that I am disappointed in this film by is the fact that they didn't wait on the reveal of the house number.
Like that they're at the, like, not the family's house, like, not yeah. Fritz. Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, the whole time watching this movie, oh, they're in the wrong house because they're looking for six. The bush moves and it's 16. And so you know about it the whole time. But then at the end, they have the punchline of who were those people? How the hell should I know? Right.
Yeah, it would have been funnier if it's like you have that line and then the bush moves.
Yeah, like they slam the door and the bush moves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a big time missed opportunity.
100%.
I mean,
yeah.
I know John Hughes is only the writer, but I mean, that should have been in his notes.
What, does John Hughes get main writing credits or does he just get characters created by?
Yeah, he actually wrote this one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I think he also wrote Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, Christmas Vacation is a reworked script. Like yeah. he wrote a movie called Christmas 59 and then he retooled it to make it into Christmas Vacation.
Okay. Yes. Oh, yeah. So but I think he was dead by the time Vegas Vacation came out. So anything beyond that is just characters, I think.
Yeah, cuz that one was what like in that one was in the 2000s, if I'm not like early 2000s, was it not? If not, like 1999.
Yeah.
Vegas was 97.
97. Okay.
Man, Oktoberfest looks fun. Did you ever get to do any, like, see any small village events like this, Colin?
I think I mentioned in, like, not in Germany, but in Spain, we went to La Tomatina. It was kind of crazy. Like, I would have been in Germany in probably, like, August, and they were already, like, setting up in Munich for Oktoberfest.
Wow. Big business.
But all I remember about Germany is how good the beer was and how nice the people were, especially yeah. in Munich.
Yeah.
But if I ever do go back to Europe, I definitely want to go check out an Oktoberfest for sure.
Mm, yes. That wouldn't be too bad of a time, I don't think. No. But I wonder how into it everybody gets. Like, are people actually sitting around wearing lederhosen? I mean, this has always been my image of Germany. Thanks to things like The Amazing Race, but of course they're going to put on traditional costumes for that. But I don't know whether you do see it like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, part of the fun of Oktoberfest is that people do get all, like, get all dressed up. Not everybody in, like, the traditional, that kind of garb, but like a lot of the, like any of the big beer houses, for sure, all the women are going to be dressed in those, like, the big corsets.
The barmaids.
And barmaid stuff. Outfits, and then,
yeah.
Yeah, people generally, like, they'll pull up the, you know, the high boots and the suspenders and the sweet hats and stuff. And then there's a lot of, like, they have, like, I remember more so, I think because it was closer to having watched a beer fest. When I went.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But
yeah,
I remember, like, I saw the big boot, and I was like, oh, man, like, I know how to take that thing down.
I know how
you
to
gotta
take
do
the
twist.
Boot. Gotta do the twist. That's the way to do it. Isn't there something I've seen with Patrick Stewart doing that?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like I remember something where Patrick Stewart drinks a boot. I don't know. Or maybe I hallucinated it.
That sounds like some sort of fan fiction to me.
Some fan fiction. Yeah. Go over to fanfiction.net and So yeah, the last part of this movie, like the third act, this movie turns into like a straight up action flick, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like we've got criminals robbing people. We've got like a brawl that takes place off of Oktoberfest and, you know, a car chase.
I was a little bit disappointed in the end of, like, the way that things pan out when they get to Rome. I think the perfect ending for European Vacation was, like, the Oktoberfest riot and then, like,
the train the takes them to the airport kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, the only way this movie can really end is for them to be chased out of Europe.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they kind of got into this weird situation with, like, criminals and stuff, I thought was, I don't know, not my favorite part of the movie, for sure.
Yeah, I guess they must have needed a happy ending or something. Like, they must have needed uplifting. But you're right. Getting chased out of Europe is more fun. It's almost like Italy should have come before Germany then. Should have ended the trip in Germany.
Yeah, like, I kind of just thought the natural ending of the movie should have kind of been that Clark was wrong. And they should have just stayed in this. They should have just stayed home the entire time.
Yeah, because they got chased out. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, you know, Chevy Chase. I who knew that he could be an action hero?
No.
There is a moment when he's when the tires blow out that he clearly yells "fuck," but it's dubbed over with "darn it all."
Oh my! Really? I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. It's like the Galaxy Quest one where Sigourney Weaver says "fuck that," but they change it to "screw," I think, but it's very clearly a hard F bomb. Yeah, but yeah, so Clark ends up being a hero, and the Griswolds they go back to America, and we get the credits with "All American Things" with the "Back in America" song. And we remind everybody that, hey, this is where we belong, is America.
Yeah. Greatest place on earth.
Yep. Seventh world.
I got a few of my sponsors out of the America stuff. I mean, I will say that. When I was watching the credits, I noticed that Michael Moore is the director in the second unit. I didn't look it up. I forgot to look it up whether that's the same Michael Moore, like Roger and Me, Bowling for Columbine, Michael Moore.
I haven't seen that one.
Bowling for Columbine?
No.
Oh, he's like, you have to go through a documentary. Yeah, he's a documentarian. Fahrenheit 9/11 is another one of his movies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he calls out politicians and shit. But anyway, there we go. That is National Lampoon's European Vacation. Now, Colin, Will, on IMDb, it scored 6.2 out of 10 and has a Metascore of 47. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 34% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 49%. Ouch, Rotten Tomatoes. But, Colin, those are just numbers. Like Clark Griswold knocking out some men in lederhosen. Hit us with some reviews.
All right, Steven C. gives this 0.5 stars and says, the worst motherfucking Chevy Chase He said the worst of motherfucking Chevy Chase with like 20 exclamation points.
Wow, what site lets you get away with
that? Oh, he put stars. Language? He put stars.
Oh, okay. Okay, you translated for us. I translated. Fantastic. Okay. Yeah. Did he get creative or just stars?
Just stars.
Oh. See, I was hoping he would, yeah, dollar signs and shit. You know.
Cartoon.
Yeah.
Isla S. says, I really enjoyed this film. It's wacky. It may, and four out of five stars. It may seem a bit silly to some, but it's pretty much all in good fun. It features the usual visual slapstick style comedy with some cringy moments. I suppose it's a bit of a short watch at just over an hour and a half, but I found it quite amusing. As I say, and I found it kept me entertained and distracted all the way through. You can't beat a good Griswold vacation film. This is a good example of 1980s comedy.
Yeah, and you watch it, and like Chevy Chase is actually likable in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just it's a hard watch in the 2020s.
Lizzie Moore says 1 out of 5 stars. I can't endorse a movie that allows a grown adult to kiss a little girl like that during the game show. I wanted to try it since my family and I like Christmas Vacation, but I immediately turned it off after I saw that. So wrong.
So, like you, they didn't realize it was spoofing a very known part of pop culture from the 70s. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then this one too. Kenzie Anderson, 2 out of 5 stars. The beginning starts off with a grown man making out with an underage girl and hitting on her. Absolutely disgusting and not comedy in the slightest. I love Chevy Chase, and the other movies are amazing, but this one reached a little too far for my taste.
Yeah. I mean, like, I will definitely say that although I get the humor behind the kiss, it does drag on a little bit too long. And he does a lot of extra unnecessary groping and But it's the sexualizing of Audrey that they do in other parts of this movie as well. That's where I say the fact that they double down on it, it's like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
The tone of what you guys are doing with Audrey in this movie is wrong.
Well, when I watched it again, I just couldn't help but think, like, the game show makeout just literally felt like a Family Guy joke.
Yeah.
It's comfortable, yeah. Drags on for way more longer than it should.
Yeah.
That's totally a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
This last one is from Rotten Tomatoes super viewer KJP, who says, European Vacation is the sequel that you always fear will happen from any great film, and this is no exception. Yes, I barely laughed during this film, and when I did, it was out of pity. Chevy Chase and the rest of the cast give it their all, but most of the gags feel extremely forced to the point that you don't even really care about the characters most of the time. In the end, this is just another slapped-together comedy sequel to make a quick buck at the box office. Lazy, poorly scripted, and falling into one cliche after another, European Vacation is the sequel I would recommend staying very far away from, even if you like the others. What a disappointing sequel.
Wow. Claws out on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so 6.2 is the highest that we get out of the anything else. Everything else is sub-50. I look at this one, and I appreciate going back and seeing it. I still found it quite funny. I was surprised because a lot of the 80s stuff that we've gone back to, it's kind of like, it hasn't really hit. Top Secret hit fairly well. But other than that, Colin and I have had a lot of shoulder shrugs. There are a few moments of missed opportunities in this movie, I think. You pointed out a great one with the fact that them being run out of Europe is a better ending.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that at times this trip is shitty, at times it's great. So it's like, well, you gotta like pick a lane for the Griswolds. You look at the other vacation movies and they're constantly getting shit on. But they actually have some good moments in this movie. So It's maybe there's a few missed opportunities. I think they missed the joke on the relatives that aren't actually relatives. But overall, I still was quite entertained by this movie, and it's a travesty that it's been so long since I had seen this movie. I don't hate it as a sequel, but I still think it's pretty good. Will, on this viewing, what do you think of European, National Lampoon's European Vacation?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've always really liked this movie. And I thought on the second viewing, like you said, like I'm a huge Chevy Chase fan, and I just think the little nuances he brings, like he is Clark Griswold, and I will never not laugh at that character. And I mean, just the situations I get put in, I love the whole family aspect, you know, perfect, not so perfect family. It's just, it's not perfect, but I think it's really funny. And I'll always have a place in my heart for the vacation movies, especially this one.
Yeah, see, someone that kind of matches Chevy Chase's comedy for me is Kevin Nealon. Because Kevin Nealon always had a character called Subliminal Man, and I feel like that's what a lot of Chevy Chase's comedy is. But old grumpy, racist, difficult on set Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
He's not as charming as he is in this movie. Yeah.
No, 100%. I mean, yeah, like, I mean, put aside all the all the background stuff. I think he's created some of the best comedy characters, like even dating back to his time on SNL. It's just it's a travesty he's built up such a bad rap.
Yeah.
It's his own volition, but I mean, it's just too bad because he could have been. I still think he's a comedy great. It's just it's disappointing that he
gets punched backstage at SNL by Bill Murray and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Colin, your first viewing of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, National Lampoon's European Vacation. What'd you think?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'll defer to both of you as the subject matter experts, but there's something about this movie that fell short of what I feel, and maybe it's because I've only seen Christmas Vacation, but like, I don't know. I always think of Clark Griswold as kind of like a Charlie Brown-esque type character, like somebody who's like wants to do good, but like always kind of just fails and like is always trying to like be positive, but like just like things are just falling down around him. Mm-hmm. And some of that happens in this movie, but I just found the ending was kind of weak. Like, there wasn't, like, the family itself never comes, like, truly, like, comes together.
Yeah.
Like, it just kind of seems like they just all fall in place at the end to make it back home. It doesn't, you know, I never felt like he, like, whatever, I don't even know what Rusty is, like, what his mission is. It seems like maybe he doesn't have, like, I think his mission is to get laid, but it's never really, like, a stated goal.
Yeah.
But maybe that should have been clear. I don't know. I found Audrey incredibly annoying the entire time. Like, I actually wish she would have just stayed home and not been a part of this movie at all, because it was just that character just, like, pining for her shitty boyfriend. Like, it got old so fast.
Putting up posters of him.
Yeah, putting up posters in her hotel room. And I don't know. I haven't seen Vegas Vacation. I think I've only seen bits and pieces of the original one, but I wasn't a big fan of this movie.
Yeah.
I will agree that I think Chevy Chase's performance overall, and Beverly D'Angelo, those two overall, I think they have really great chemistry, and they turned mm-hmm. in a great performance in this movie.
Yeah.
But I thought the kids, probably mostly that, I thought the kids were super weak, and I thought the story just was like you were saying, Sean, like, just too all over the place. Like, you need to decide, like, are we showcasing Europe in this movie? Is it a bad trip? Is it a good trip? Like, I don't know. It just wasn't, it was too unclear. That's what I'll title my review. It was an unclear movie.
Yeah, like, there's so much time spent in Paris compared to some of the other places. But, like, London, it's they go for a drive. They hit a couple cars. They hit a bicyclist. Like, even if the bicyclist had turned up a couple times where it's like, I just can't get away from you people, right? That would have almost been better instead of, you know, comedy comes in threes. Why didn't he show up at some point in Germany?
Yeah.
Why wasn't he the person that Clark steals the bike from? In yeah. Rome, like I don't know, like it's just, yeah, they needed some more stuff like that. I do agree, like with London, I think even the car accident, I thought, I didn't really understand why, if it was, oftentimes when we watch these 80s movies, I feel like, oh, are there things like the makeout with the girl, like, maybe there are things that just, like, in context of the time, like,
you're would have been
uproarious.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's not that funny, like, oh, stupid American can't figure out how to drive on the other side of the road. Like, I don't know.
Well, and I think it's the British are super polite, too, and don't want to confront an American.
But the funny thing is like, that might have worked. That seems more Canadian. Like, that's not even, I don't even find that to be, like, a really British trope, like, I feel like the British thing would have been more like, I don't know, like you would still have to show them kind of like slagging them off as they walked away.
Yeah. just... yeah, like we'll have to ask Luke, because yeah. I mean, I've heard that the British culture is still like unapologetically apologetic. So
yeah, maybe.
Yeah. But, you know, or is it just showing that America is hard? They're afraid of us over here.
I also think, like, for a National Lampoon's, it's a little crazy to me that they didn't have a legitimate run-in with, like, the royal family or the queen or, like, a Buckingham Palace guard. And, like, I actually feel like they wasted their time in the story that could have happened in London was a little bit of a waste to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like the clean 90-minute runtime, but definitely, like, they could have padded the London stuff for sure.
London needed mm-hmm. to be padded. Yeah. That's the only one that's really lacking. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rome.
I love Germany. Like, I love the Germany parts.
That's, yeah.
The Germany part was good.
Yeah. So Colin, would you watch it again?
I think I would need to, I would watch it again, but I would have to watch it like in context of the entire film series.
Yeah.
Because I'd want to see, I would want to get like the whole picture.
You're home sometime recovering from surgery or something like that, and you're like, ah, fuck it. I'll do all the vacations all the way up to Ed Helms.
Yeah. Oh, yep, the Ed Helms. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the Ed Helms one was, I mean, as much as I love Ed Helms, I thought it was a little weak. Although I did like when they're swimming in the shit pool. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
I do like that they brought back Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo, too, for that little bit. I thought that was a... Yeah, but I don't know.
I have to say, the car was fun. I really liked the car.
Mm-hmm.
Where it has, like the seats that turn and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. That is National Lampoon's European Vacation, and that's our show for this week. A big, huge thank you to our pal, Will Brisbane. Will, if there's anything you want to shout out, do it now. Thanks for being here. Yeah. Shout out your shit.
Okay. I guess it's a quick plug time. You can follow me on Instagram at WILL.BRISBIN. On Facebook and Twitter is just Will Brisbane. I wrapped shooting an Edmonton based movie, The Christmas Train Parade. Quick plug, quick shout out to Marcus Rosner and Dylan Pierce and Andrew Shulichuk for the opportunity. You can see that one on whatever TV station it'll hit in the Christmas season. I'm not exactly sure yet, but I think a pretty good guess would be City TV, so be on the lookout. You can see me hanging out with a nice golden retriever named Dave and some fantastic actors. So,
well, I mean, if they follow your shit, I'm sure you'll be able to update them on that shit when it comes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So follow. You can get to know everything that goes on in my life.
Right on. Thanks for being here, Will.
Thank you guys so much for having me again. It's always a pleasure.
If you like that show, one thing you can do to really help us out is, well, just tell somebody, and then they'll tell a friend, and then they'll tell a friend, and pretty soon we have millions and millions of followers, and everyone wants to listen to this show. Or go to whatever app you listen to your podcasts on and give us some stars. Give us 5 stars and a review. Doesn't matter what you say in your review, you can tell us your favorite vacation movie. Oh, do you have a favorite?
It's definitely Christmas Vacation. I'll give you the power rankings.
Power rankings. Number 5. Go.
Christmas Vacation is taking the first spot.
Okay.
Original Vacation is taking the second spot. Third spot goes to European Vacation. And I do like Vegas Vacation, but it is the weakest link in a franchise that I've always really liked. I think it's a weak link, but it's still a fun ride.
Yeah. I'll let you know how Christmas Vacation 2 falls into the ranking once I get around to
of
that.
Of course, that you keep me posted.
If you want to go above and beyond for us, boy, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne and start donating to us, please. For your trouble, you become part of our Patreon family, and you get a shout out on the show because you're an executive producer, just like executive producer Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
And be sure to check out our website, IUsedToLikeThisOne.com, where you can find links to all of our podcast episodes and social media pages. And drop us a line at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com. Let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
I Used to Like This One is created by, hosted by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells, music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band, Carter in the Capitals, anywhere you listen to music. And if you want to hear more from me and my stories of being a bus driver, check out my other podcast, In Front of the Yellow Line, anywhere pods are cast. Thank you for listening, and join us next time when we take a look at another movie on I Used to Like This One. Wow, right at the end there.
Oh.
On I Used to Like This One.
The date is... Damn it, I already fucked up. I can't see it.